to you, everybody. Praise Yahweh. Pastor Buddy coming in with you tonight. Right on time. Getting snow down here in Tennessee. Wonderful, beautiful stuff. It's sort of like a woman having a baby. Snow is. It's good to see it falling, but it's bad of having it. So you just relax tonight and enjoy the message. We got a good one for you. It's part 9 as we're going into pyramids and 20 and 12. Going to talk about a planet, a wayward planet, prophesied in the Bible, believe it or not, in the book of Job. And it sort of talks like that it might be the planet that Satan owned. You know, it's sort of, I really believe this, that the Bible says that Yahweh made all the stars. And among the stars is the planets. See, a star keeps the balance like our sun. We couldn't exist without the sun. So within our sun universe, we have the planet Earth inhabited. Well, who's to say, or who's not to say, that all of the heavens out there are naked and barren and devoid of life? I do believe that there are worlds, and that some of these worlds are inhabited by others, and we're not alone in the universe. And I believe that Satan, I believe that all of the angels have a planet or a star named in their honor. And would you believe that Yahweh calls all of them by name? Every star system in the universe, and it just staggers the imagination to talk about the vastness of the heavens. And yet, the Bible says that in a way they're an illusion, because they're going to disappear in a moment. They're going to melt with fervor and heat. And they're all going to explode and disappear. Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, we've been talking about it consistently here in the 9 times that we've talked about this, and this is no exception. We're going to talk about it again. There was war in heaven. Now, I would just that you get religion off your mind for a moment and quit thinking the way that religion has caused us to think, because we have worshipped the things that we shouldn't worship. And we don't worship the things that we should. And I believe we've been thrown a curveball by the things that are rather than the things that are. Now, to have faith to see what I'm going to describe to you tonight, you're going to have to use your imagination just a little bit, or your spiritual comprehension and understanding, that you may know the truth, and the truth would you know, get you in the right state of mind, that there is a Bible verse in the book of Job, chapter 26, that talks about the planet Rahab. And then it says this in respect to that planet, I believe. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer is mentioned one time in the Bible, in Isaiah 14, where I'm reading. How are you cut down to the ground? Now, what does that mean? Which did us weaken the nations? Now, nations is people or offspring. I want you to look at it like that. The nations that came from Jacob's loins, which was 12 sons. Then he adopted one, which made 13 in the family fold, that is genetically associated with the very DNA evidence of his blood. When Christians talk about, oh, I'm saved by his blood, what they're really saying, I've got the blood of Yahweh dwelling in my life. You can't be associated with Yahweh out of the family. The whole family in heaven and earth is in his name. And Satan at one time, believe it or not, he was in the family. He's close kin. I mean, he was right up there, number two man in the hierarchy. And so when he divided or rebelled, he caused rebellion. Now, the Bible says that rebellion is worse than witchcraft. I mean, the two are associated so close that Satan is using black op magic. He's also using it today on earth in the black ops of the federal government, or the governments around the world. They're all in collusion. They're all in stealth. They're all set about. Did you know, if I was to tell you something tonight, now, it's going to take a matter of time for this to prove right. It will not be proved wrong. And I guarantee you that if you knew tonight what the governments of the world have been told that is soon to come upon the earth, Satan and his mighty ones, the United States government, and that's our government here, and I'll particularly speak of it, others are included, but the United States is considered the world leader in the world government. And what they're working toward, as we all know, is a new world order. That's coming. That has to be before Satan can come. He has to have complete unity. And leading up to that, there's going to be wars. And so we're fixing to have a major war. This, again, is going to involve several nations, if not all. It's probably going to balloon into a world war, and it's going to be catastrophic. It's going to involve nuclear weapons on a mass scale. Now, the United States is the only nation in the world that has ever, in warlike preparation, has ever exploded in the nuclear age, that we exploded an atomic bomb. Now, we have, in the nuclear phase of it, we have upped it. In other words, the TNT power has... you know, it's just marooned, or it's mushroomed to a point where we can hook 16 or 17 megatom bombs to a rocket, a missile, and shoot it off. We have all kinds of we have enough submarines under the water, each one of them carrying about 30 or 40 tubes of these powerful weapons that is 16 times more potent and powerful than the one that was dropped on all three of the Japanese territories. Now, why? Why do we have this amazing power? Because in there's nothing new under the sun. What has already been, there is evidence that whole continents have been submerged through the unmerciful, relentless power of these weapons. They just explode the elements. And Peter spoke of the exploding elements. They will melt with fervent heat. There was war in heaven, and Satan and his angels lost the war. There was a division of angels, and they begin to war with each other. And when you look at these, well, let's take Mars, for instance. We're now exploring Mars extensively. The truth's known, we're already up there. If you was to catch up with the latest news, probably you're 25 years behind where the United States, or other nations, for that matter, is already advanced 25 years ahead of where we're at right now, or what we're being told. So if we was to come up to speed, we would know that ancient civilizations at one time thrived on Mars and other planets like this throughout the universe. And man at one time had the run as Satan did. Because old Satan fell from heaven after he lost the war. Now, we told you he was taken to a planet elsewhere. It wasn't his planet. It wasn't where he wanted to be. He loved darkness, so Yahweh gave him, you know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. Now, he sowed darkness, so he had to reap it. So Satan and his angels are bound on a wayward planet that only returns back into our solar system periodically. And it has a long, wide orbit before it can come back in and wreak havoc with our Earth. Now, there may be other systems that it evolves around that could suffer consequences alternately, but our Earth is due for a flyby of what we would call now, it's famously known as Nibiru. And where that came from, it's just not like a bunch of amateur astronomers are predicting or they saw this planet. Now, we know that NASA announced in the 80s that they had discovered a planet. They know through the wobbling and the distortion of these planets that we can see and measure, that there is a force outside affecting them in gravitational pull that's outside our range of probably telescopes. But at any moment, it could happen tomorrow. The Bible talks about fearful the signs in the heavens. Now, let me give you a little information concerning that word fearful. The United States government and other governments of this world that know what they know this, that there would be widespread pandemonium and panic as a result of them announcing that there was a wayward planet heading this way. People would be frightened to death. Now, when they're told that it's inhabited, that's really going to flip everybody out. That announcement will come, and that announcement will be given to the world at a later date, and it's not as late as you would think. It's getting close. And so then all these predictions, people are sizing up the situation, and we're now acknowledging that Satan had a grand design plan. I mean, he was so high and mighty. The Bible says, how thou didst weaken the nations. Now, we know how he done that. He went back to the Garden of Eden with this experiment that the mighty ones were having in the very beginning by bringing the things into revelation. You see, Satan is a perverter. He's never up to anything good because they found iniquity. He was perfect until, like I said last night, until iniquity was found within him. And then we've got problems here. All of the problems that we've got is due to the rebellion. Now, at stake is your soul. There's a warfare going on right now to see who you will serve. And the Bible says, choose. Well, what's your choice? Is it Yahweh, or is it the Semite way? Now, Satan, as I have talked to you in time in and time out, that Satan would raise his throne, or seek to. After he fell from the heaven, he said in his heart, I will go up to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, or the stars of the Elohim, is the way it reads in the Hebrews. The stars of the Elohim are those who possessed all of these stars and planet systems and had a home on it. Satan's home planet, where he hatched up the conspiracy to raise his throne or to exalt his planet or his cause above the cause of all the others who were teamed up. With the earthlings being the experiment, and I don't believe they're the only ones, to tell you the truth, and when people are thinking about blood, I'm saved by the blood, they're buying into the Catholic doctrine of drinking grape juice and it becoming the blood. Well, that's not true. That ain't going to cut it, praise Yahweh. Now, what's going to happen here? What blood are we talking about? We're talking about the DNA offspring of these gods. They were having offspring. Yahweh is no different. Proving that he brought a seed line through the seed of Adam's offspring, starting with Seth, a replacement seed, and he often fought Satan for the possession of these sons. He guarded them zealously and jealously. He took care of them to make sure that Satan the tare wouldn't mix and mingle, and that's what Satan's job is to pollute, corrupt, and kill, steal, and destroy. That's his mission. It still hasn't changed, and his great last master plan I'm talking about tonight, the great late planet Earth. Now, there's a book written by Hal Lindsey on that many, many years ago. He made some prophecies that's not come to pass and won't, because he's not prophesying in the right way. You know why? Because they don't have any idea of what's going to happen. They're in league with the devil, and they believe Satan has set this thing up when he promised that Jesus was coming back to sit in Jerusalem, the temple. That's not a false prophecy. A person by the name of Jesus will appear magically, triumphantly. He's going to have so much support, like I said last night, that he's going to deceive the very elect. When he is going to weaken the nations, as he did in Genesis, he's the one that sowed the tare. That weakened. That brought death. That brought suffering. That brought heartache. And so, by doing that, we have now a royal battle, because Satan is seeking to raise his throne. He knows that the last battleground will be planet Earth. Well, Yahweh knows that, because he wrote that he's coming to destroy Satan, who is going to be sitting on the earth doing miracles and signs and wonders. Now, if you look at the misinterpreted passage that the word Lucifer, they describe him as, in the very best King James mistranslation, it compounds the confusion because of the association of Venus, Lucifer, or the phosphorus one, or the morning star. But we know that Satan is a counterfeiter, but we know he's not the morning star. We know that. Now, the Bible uses the phrase, and in Job, the morning stars sang together. Well, if he was to give the homage to himself, which he said, I will exalt my throne, or I will exalt my planet, Yahweh did him a favor in the war with Michael and the angels. You see all these pot marks? Everybody says that these were caused by asteroids and comets and things of this nature, as we know that there is what we call a debris belt from, it looks like, and science will agree with me tonight, I'm not way out of science, I'm in science, declaring unto you that Yahweh, Michael and his angels, they took his planet out. Yahweh said, oh, he wants to be known as the morning light, or the shining light. Well, we know what he actually likes. He loves darkness, because that's what he's about. So Yahweh placed a dark hole. It probably wasn't even any existing until he made him a place of habitation. Placed him in this dark hole and put a seal upon him, and the Bible described it as a chain. Now, we know this is a spiritual thing, like I described it last night. It's not literal, but it's placed placed in technology. Satan had no technology to break out of this restraining dark hole. He was forever, looked like, bound as a dark hole. It absorbs everything, even light. It captures light and it becomes darkness. The more light comes in, the more darker it gets. This is a hellacious place. And Satan has been bound there for a specific amount of time, 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, Satan must be loosed. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit. Now, we're going to talk about this wayward planet that is going to come back into our solar system. Now, this planet has gone on a long, dark journey. As Satan and his angels were placed aboard this planet, they wanted a planet. Yahweh gave them one. And they were all placed on this planet. They were gathered up from wherever that they were going through. The Bible says that they went through heaven, going and coming, wherever they pleased. They had the run of the universe, and they were out there doing things. And when it became off limits, is when they began to experiment with Yahweh's experiment. You see, Yahweh brought Adam to the 8-day creation point. Now remember, everything was already created and thriving. And the 7th day, he rested and turned it over to the evolutionary process of time and let it start its cycling in and out. And there was a race of pre-Adamites who existed from Genesis 1:26 before the earth ever became dark and void. You see, Satan come as the light bearer, but he turned everything upside down and dark. And man lost his way because, spiritually speaking, he took upon himself a carnal nature of good and evil. And Satan won every battle, it seems like. When man become tried, Satan knowing that perfection, you had to be perfect to get back into heaven, he knew that, Satan knew that Yahweh would have to eventually come, if he dared to, and he didn't think he would, come to earth in a flesh body and contend with him, because Satan had took everybody captive at will. Every son since Adam came, Adam was the son of Yahweh, everything that descended from that relationship in a procreation failed. They could not withstand the great Satan who deceived the whole world. Now, in the end of the age, Yahweh, the second Adam from heaven, first one was of the earth earthly. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 2. When Yahweh rested, he created a flesh Adam. He placed this spirit being. Now remember, I said that a spirit has no beginning and it has no end. A spirit is not created. The spirit is the creators. You are a creator. And Satan tried to sell us on the ideal that if we worship him, we could overthrow Yahweh himself and make it a lot easier on everybody by exalting Satan. And most of us believe that. Most of us live that way. And most of us trying to prove Satan right, when in a sense, we're trying to prove Yahweh wrong. There is a way again that seems right. So Satan is now having his planet taken out. And listen to what he says. Other passages that he uses to describe the angels as sons from the morning or the dawning of creation. Yahweh questioned Job from the whirlwind in 38, which is a great, valuable chapter if you want to know about life hereafter and life before. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Or who cast its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, not star, not the morning star, the morning star. See, Satan wanted to become, he wanted to become the chief Elohim or the chief God. All the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy. They were made. They had a beginning point. Yahweh created Satan. Now, it wasn't Satan that had the power to create himself. Satan has no power to create. He can pervert that which is created. That's what he set about to do because he was jealous, he was envious, and he really wanted the affection and the praise and the honor because he was so used to it. All the other angels praised him according to these three books. Now, if you'd like to do some further research, I've taught on this in the past. The 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, where I'm reading tonight, and the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, which is a wondrous revelation chapter, along with the 31st chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Those three chapters are particularly talking about the works of Satan and the confusion that he brought as he laid low the nations. He weakened them by mixing with a holy seed. Now, the holy seed has been enticed to come down to planet Earth, leave their estate. Now, their estate was the whole heavens from going to and fro. That's what he said. And they came down and they followed Satan's examples from the Garden of Eden. They begin to look at Eve's sons from Cain, the offspring, who the father was Satan, the shining one, mistranslated in the Bible as the morning star. He was not the morning star. We know that for a fact. He became the author of all death. He became the author of all confusion. And he became the author of those loving darkness. Now, people like to shine. They like to put on a show. They like to showcase. They love cheap seeds. These are the seeds of Satan. But the other angels envied Satan because he dared to defy Yahweh, and he got away with it. If you look at the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, Yahweh didn't even know there was anything going on at that time in the way of rebellion, although he knew what Satan had done, but he left off attending to it, turned it over to his other angels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and the others that's mentioned in the book of Enoch. The pyramid builder, the instructor, these other angels came down and helped Enoch, along with the sons of Seth. They built the pyramid, and they encapsulated into the pyramid the whole beginning from the end. They tied it up in a time capsule and buried the evidence and built this beautiful. Now, folks, you're only seeing the rough edges of the pyramid. They're wonders right now in their roughest state. But at one time, they were polished completely with high polished limestone. Limestone. You know what covers a stink? We used to dig what we call outhouses. The army called them latrines. And places, Yahweh instructed them how to dig these pits to hold the things which don't smell too good. Well, one of the most quieting elements in the world for a bad smell. male is lying. Everyone and their grandmother that was worth their salt. In the old days, when they built a latrine, they used lime periodically to cover the stench, to keep down the odor. Well, that's what happened when they ripped off the limestone, highly polished, beautiful limestone casings that were on the pyramids, and it was a glycerin from space. It could be seen. It can still be seen. But at that time, with this glycerin, highly polished limestone, it was a beauty. It was a monument to Yahweh, an altar. And contained within that altar, there was 144 capstones, approximately. They approximated, sure enough, they estimated, and they did, the mathematicians came in, and they figured that they would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 144,000 of these wondrous, highly polished, large capstones, or these casing stones, with the missing capstone. Now, that's very important. The missing capstone. Well, today, when Yahweh came in the third chapter of the book of John, as I described a couple of messages ago, he came in the third chapter of the book of John as the bridegroom. There was 144,000 that came out of their graves with him in the first resurrection, and this was the part of the story that they would be the bride, would be raptured out in the first resurrection with the bridegroom, the Messiah, the capstone. That's why it's missing. In the first resurrection, it tells the story, and that's why they stripped away literally the beautiful white limestone casting stones. These are the lively stones, the Bible said. We're lively stones. Now, what we've got left at the altar of 1919, in a book of Isaiah, we have what is called the missing capstone with 144,000 casing stones, which, again, it talks about the first resurrection. Now, the second one, these are the rough stones. These are the stones that were not to be seen. They didn't deserve anything, if you will. We're saved by grace. It's not a highly polished work like the first one was. These were highly polished, a work of art. Yahweh declared the end from the very beginning. He took out the 144,000 represented by the casing stones, and the capstone is now missing. It's in heaven in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. The bride is with the bridegroom. Together they travail, and when Zion travails, she brings forth sons and daughters that didn't deserve anything. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I can see why that the rugged pyramid, stripped of its beautiful casings and covering, it had to be perfect to go to heaven, was made perfect by the Lamb as He chose them, and they became the first fruits of them that slept. And now He's coming back with His spiritual work. He gets sons and daughters every day that they see this message. They didn't deserve it. They had something unique about them in the prophet. They had a substance of being born from above, not below. But they are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. He wasn't nothing to look at. He wasn't beautiful like Satan was. And when Yahweh said, "Who cast its cornerstone?" Well, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, Yahweh said, If I'm a father, what's my name? And what's my son's name, if you can tell? The morning stars sang when the capstone, that was the hope and promise given before the world was, that Yahweh would save every one of his sons and daughters in this experiment upon the earth. A schoolmaster, the law, handed down, kept perfect. That's why Satan desired the law, so he could accuse the brethren to keep you from going to heaven. He loves company. Misery does love company. He wants you to stay around, because as long as you stay around and you don't get the message and you can't come to the full homage of the truth, then Satan gets to abide down here and rule over you, and you be a servant. Should be the other way around. Notice this. Rule and fear are with him. He makes peace in his high place. Is there any number to his armies? In Psalms 148, it says, praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him from the heights. The pyramid is 485 feet. And with the capstone, we would have probably a 600-foot pyramid, and six is the number of man. The next step is seven, which is complete. And then we go back to the status of Adam, to the eighth day, which is a new beginning. And we're fixing to come into that, praise Yahweh. Let them praise Yahweh's name, for he commanded, and they were created. My heavens, my heavens, my heavens. He established them forever. He gave a decree that they would not pass away. Satan, the number two in the hierarchy, next to Yahweh himself, Satan sealed the measure of perfection and beauty of all of Yahweh's creation. All of the other angels, read it in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the 31st chapter and the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The three chapters that really speak of the anointed cherub who walked, listen to this now, among the stones of fire. Yahweh spoke all of the creation into existence. Now, let me give you a verse out of Ezekiel chapter 28, since I mentioned. You were the anointed cherub that covers. And I had put you in the holy height of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. See that? He's got a beginning. Guess what? He's going to have an ending. Yep, he's going to seal up the sum here. Until iniquity was found in you, you were perfect. Now, when Ezekiel prophesied, he addressed to the king of Iraq, anointed cherub, stone of fire. Well, when the pyramid was built, the mystery of it, that people wondered how in the world could they raise these 2.5 million stones into a 13-acre expanse. This great pyramid, the altar, the one is called the altar of Yahweh in the midst of Egypt, right at the border of Upper and Lower Egypt, right on that border, right geographically. It must have been Yahweh. He knew where the center of the earth was when he laid the cornerstone to build this great 13-acre, which represented the 13 tribes, and given a number of the sum and the perfection of 144,000 casting stones to cover. That's the beauty of Satan. And he desired to get him some sons and daughters, and he failed through transgression, and all of the angels, they didn't fall all at once. It was a gradual procession. angels would come down and check, and man, they'd see Satan's progeny building cities and erecting great centers of knowledge, and they couldn't resist it. It was just too great of a temptation, and they took hold of the sacred fire, which is that gives life. That's the sacred fire. Walking among the stones of fire, every man has stones that he carries in a little bag that represents the seed of his progeny. His offspring bears after the seed. Now, in the garden, Satan planted a tare. It wasn't a perfect seed. He was perfect until he produced beautiful sons and daughters. Matter of fact, Judah married one in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis. Can you believe that? The 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, that Judah, one of the casting stones in the pyramid, the 13 tribes, the 13 acres, he gave away his acre. He surrendered it to Satan. By transgression, he fell. He was redeemed by a little woman from, according to the book of Jasher, from the house of Adam. That would have been Tamar. Now, a lot of people say that she was a whore, and she was wrong, but she did the only thing, like Rahab, she did the only thing. She wasn't worthy. But Judah has prominently stepped up to become known as the holy sons of Yahweh, the chosen people. And the ones that are chosen are imposters and fakes, just like Satan is, who is deceiving the whole world, and the end of his deception is endless. Now, he deceives people. The sons that were born from the union of Eve and Satan, these are the ones that will not. Now, notice here. Before the creation of Adam, the civilizations of angels existed on the terrestrial planets. And throughout Scripture, there is a constant reference to the first dwelling places of some of the ancient sons of God. These angels created habitations on the earth, Mars, and other planets, the moon, going to and fro. And behold, you are wiser than Daniel. Every one of the secret things is not hidden from you. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created until iniquity was found in you. And by the multitude of your trade, they filled your midst with violence. And you sinned, so I cast you profaned from the height of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. See how he tried to imitate? Yahweh just had him a little monument set up down here to glorify him and his glory. And Satan said, well, I can do you one better. I'll be the covering stones of fire, and I will get the first seed. And everything will have to prototype through me, and that's exactly what he done. He created the flesh mind, the good and the bad. Satan can be good. That's where he deceives you. And in the end, he shows up being bad, because he's rotten to the bone, and he had iniquity in him from the word go. It just took time, and by the time these dumb Christians get through following him, thinking that they're doing Yahweh a service, falling from their steadiness and their steadfastness, they fall, thinking themselves to be unfallible and wise. Yahweh sent them a strong delusion that they could be damned that believe all of these things, that Satan promised him liberty when he's a servant of corruption. Ladies and gentlemen, by his trade, he profaned the holy place and the holy places. Thus, Yahweh said, I brought a fire from from your midst. And when Satan rebelled, Yahweh cast him as profane from the height of heaven because of his rebellion. He was destroyed from the midst of the stones of fire, or the planet, where he had a planet, according to the 28th chapter of the book of Job, Rehob, and that planet was knocked out of the heavens, and it became, and still is, the wandering star, the fragments of this beautiful star. It was a beautiful planet. He would hold great conventions over there, and he would preach to the angels that Yahweh was not fair, the mighty one, and that they shouldn't take it, that they deserved to be in on this and to bring forth sons and to be like the Most High. And they little by little, they began to come over to earth, and they were enticed with these daughters, both good and bad. They took them wives of all that they claimed. They taught science. They taught things that man in his infant state didn't know. And they added to their thinking. And they were always thinking wrong. Today, we are in the mode of thinking that we only have a few days left until Armageddon. Now, at the point of crossing, when we have this great opening celestially, and Satan is officially marked free, then he will set about by getting the governments who already know that they exist. These are very smart beings. They are part of the progenitors. They're going to prove that they fathered these seeds into the earth. They're going to specially pick the ones that they fathered. Now, they're going to convince the ones that they picked that you, who Yahweh chose, or bone of his bone and flesh of his, that you're evil. You don't need to be here. And then Satan, according to the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel that I spoke about last night, that the Bible says that Satan was wiser than Daniel, but Daniel knew by revelation that Satan was coming in the end, and he fainted for the carnage. He couldn't stand to see what Satan is coming to do. He's going to rule the earth for a short time with a rod of iron. Now, I've got to close. My time is coming to end fast here. But, ladies and gentlemen, don't you know, can't you understand that Satan is coming from the heavens, and he's going to wreak havoc with all of those who love Yahweh. He's going to come, and he's going to do battle with you. He's going to bring you before the magistrates. He's going to deliver you up before the synagogues. And he's going to want to kill you. He's wanting to put you in prison and do away with you because you're going to do exploits. You're going to know who he is. If you know, at that time, Yahweh's going to open your eyes up. He's going to give you a heart. He's going to give you courage that you throw yourself, your whole body, in front of a runaway locomotive just to save one brother. Yahweh removed the planet of pride called Rahab. Job 26:11-13. The pillars of heaven are stunned at his rebuke. He quiets the sea with his power, and by his understanding, he shatters or dashes asunder Rahab, and by his spirit, the heavens were beautiful, and his hand forbids the fugitive snake to pass the demarcation line. Yahweh wrought destruction on the heads of the rebellious sons, removed them out of the heavens, took them to a place. And Friday night, Yahweh willing, I'm going to teach on the ancient Sumerian tablets of Samaria, which gives us a clear understanding that Nibiru, the planet that they call Nibiru, is a wayward planet made with an orbit where Satan will hitchhike. Now they've got craft that can travel through the air. You say, oh, I thought they just jump from planet to planet. They're spirits and they just hop around like frogs. No. You see, these are wise, intelligent beings. They're just like you, but a little bit higher, a little bit smarter, or at least they think they are. But the Bible said Yahweh will take them in their craftiness. He will cast them down to hell. And don't be in that number, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stand up and get ready for the arrival of Satan and his angels. They're coming soon to a planet near you. Brought to you courtesy of the deception of the New World Order. I'll give you my mailing address now if you'd like to have it. It's your pen and paper. Just simply address your cards and letters if you'd like some tracts on the holy name of Yahweh, if you'd like a calendar or something of that nature, a Hebrew calendar, the perfect time calendar. We have that to offer to you tonight. If you'd like to go to our website, that's oneyahweh.com. We have the calendar posted there. Bob's got it all up. And we are doing a update on our website. We're going to have a brand new website sometime, probably after the 1st of March. We will probably have it in motion. We're working on it right now. Bob's done a lot of work, preliminary, and it's all coming together. It just takes time. So if you'd like to write me tonight, write Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee. That's Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. If you'd like to call me, I'm live around the world tonight on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. We're going to 50-50 come the 14th of this month. We'll be switching over. Make you a note, we're going to be switching to 50-50. And so we'll not be on 3185, but we're going to the summer transmitter in the 14th of this month, just a year and a little while, we'll be switching over to 50-50. Make you a post by your shortwave radio. If you're listening by way of internet, you won't have to worry about it. You'll catch us anyway. But for those of you that listen around the world on shortwave, tune your receivers to 50-50 on the 14th, and we'll see you then on Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Now, again, my telephone number, 423-351-1082. So, you can call me. If you'd like to call my cell phone, it's 423-259-0606. You can't miss us. Call us, write us. We'll see you then, and I'll see you Friday night. Come Friday night. I'll be up tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you, and we love you.